Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. It's the time that we have set aside to come together, the body of Christ, to expound on the Word of God together. As always, it's an honor and a privilege, and I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank each and every one of you from taking time out of your busy schedule to come where we could fellowship one with another in the Word of God, that we can hear, accept, and grow in grace and knowledge of God so that we could be great kingdom builders. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Psalms. Psalms 139, so if you have your Bibles, you could turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 139, and we're going to expound on verses 1 through 18. And a little title I gave for this lesson is Everything is a Part of God's Master Plan. And the plan was formulated before the foundation of the world. Something to think about. And it's something that is true. God is in control of all things. And by him, all things were created, the heavens and the earth. This is God's world. He's our creator. And he's working it out together for our good. I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace with our dear sister Pam, our intercessor. And then we'll go come back and explore the Word of God together. Be prayerful for our Bible study tonight. Always remember and continue to pray for one another.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able, God is able, God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who make my way, who can make a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is God is able. God is able, oh, and he won't fail. Tell me who make a river out of a little stream, who tell the clouds to roll back so that the sun can look at me. And who tell the wind to whistle through the trees? And when I'm in trouble, who that same God that will come down and rescue me? God is able. God is able. God is able. And he
God is able. Tell you God is able and he won't. No. Never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
And that song is just reminding us that God will not, God cannot fail. God has everything under control and nothing that's happening is taken him by surprise. And God, as the title of our lesson tonight says, God has had a master plan. That he formulated before he spoke everything into existence. And each and every one of us was included in that plan. And God is just working it out, y'all, in our lives as we go through. You see, God had an intended purpose for our lives. And he is designing, arranging, and rearranging the matters in our lives so that we can get to that intended purpose that he designed for us, because that's where our success is. Remember, God won't fail. And besides that, God cannot fail. And at this time, I'm going to turn everything over to Sister Pam, and she lead us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
Good evening, everybody. This is the prayer list for Wednesday night, November the 1st, 2023. Nelson McKenzie, Cornell Davis, Juanita Stills, David Webb, Lawrence Gordon and family, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaz, Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Linda Howard, Latasha Harlan, Barbara, Jada Porter, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Hayes, Brother KJ, Diane McBride and family, Minister Diane Adams and family, I'm sorry. Maddie Venato, Katina Orlando, Jace, Gina, Michael's son, Michael and Ashley, Sandra Oliver and sons, Minister Paul of Cloud, Brother Corey, Denario Ashelis, Nelson Johnson, Maddie Trotter, Glenn Butler, Karen Lewis, Yvonne Richardson, Pastor William Morton, Moulton, Carla Williams, Brother and Sister Charlie Harris, Sister Galatian Daniels, Sister Geraldine Jones, Almeda Taylor, Jolan Dawson, Sari Chung, Isaiah Mensa and family, Micah Lewis, Jarius McClendon, and Cameron Olafit. Tonight, I'm going to do a little difference. I had read something earlier this week, and with everything that's going on in the world today, I just kind of thought this would be appropriate for me to share it with you all. The night is far gone, and the day is near. Let's therefore throw off the deeds of darkness, and let's put on the armor of light. You've heard the saying, it is always darkest before the dawn. Our world can be a dark place, and as the years pass, it appears to be getting darker. Our culture is less moral. Violence and hatred are increasing. It feels hopeless that pushing back against this darkness will do anything at all, do any good at all. But if the saying is true, the fact that the world is getting darker should actually fill us with hope, because the darker it gets, the closer we are to the new day appearing. Christ is closer to us now than the previous day, closer than the previous minute. The light of his reign comes closer with each moral code that's abandoned. With every increase in calamity and vice, the more the enemy rears his head in victory, the closer to his demise we come. But we should not give up hope and live in fear. No. Today's verse counsels us to rise as one does before the dawn and prepare for this new day. With every inch of territory the darkness takes, we should respond as soldiers of the light. Whether we want to admit it or not, the darkness is a reason to hope. Rise up and declare the coming of the dawn. Father God, we humbly ask that you help us embrace the hope of your return. Fill us with your spirit that we may help spread your light amid this world darkness. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen and thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. You know, we look at the evil and darkness in a world and we could get overwhelmed. But that reading that we just heard lets us know, because it gets dark and evil by the day, we have hope. And we have to learn to hold on to that hope in the midst of everything that's going on. God has an appointed time, and like our title tonight, God, everything is a part of God's master plan. Every second, every minute, every hour, no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter how it feels, you may be overwhelmed, you may have sickness in your body, you may have broken relationships, you may have unforgiveness, you may have whatever you have. But God told us in his word that his grace is sufficient. And Jesus is coming back for a church without spots and blemishes. So we have to ask that reading, let us know, hold on to the confession of your faith. Don't give up. Keep it moving. Because God is in control and God have this in the palm of his hand. He's holding each and every one of us. He's taking care of us from danger seen and unseen. He's providing the things that we need and some of the things we want, and he's holding us when we slip. He keeps us from falling. God is a good God, y'all, and he's worthy to be praised. And when we gather on Wednesday nights to study the word of God so we can know the will of God and what God expects of us and what he expects us not to do. And we are not perfect, but we pressing towards the mark of a prize. We pressing. You know, it should be our desire to be better today than we was yesterday. To help us to remove things out of our lives that's not pleasing to him. Because it's not predicated on you, but it's predicated on him. But we have to cry out to him. We have to let him know that we are weak, but with him we are strong. We have to just call on the name of Jesus, because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus where every knee will bow and tongue confess. But as that reading was read from our dear sister Pam, let it remind us that Jesus is coming back. And the question you could ask yourself tonight, are you ready? Thank you, Sister Pam, so much for those encouraging words.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our lesson tonight is entitled, Everything is a Part of God's Master Plan. Before the foundation of the world, he made it before the foundation of the world. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 1 through 18. You know, I often use, I'm going to do a little background, and I was asked by a caller to, you know, introduce characters, places, and things in the intro that they could have, you know, knowledge that's not always just taught, but to give them information as they hear about the different characters in the Bible. You know, this is Bible study. And we study the Bible and we go through different aspects of it because you got to realize everybody's not on the same level. Everybody haven't been in on their walk with God as long as others have. Some people have more biblical knowledge than others. And we don't know who all is going to call on the line because we have people calling from all around the world because it's on the internet. And we want to make sure we can cover some bases where hopefully when it's all said and done after the hour, that everybody has something they could use. So tonight, the lesson is coming from the book of Psalms. And David is the writer of this psalm. And our title, Everything is a Part of God's Master Plan. You have to believe that. You see, when I say before the foundation of the world, God was in his holy realm. And I believe he was with the Father. The Father was with the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Trinity was there. And everything was invisible. And God had his master plan for his creation. And when the book of Genesis opened up with in the beginning, that's when God spoke everything into existence. Now you have to realize he didn't just speak the Old Testament. He spoke everything into existence all the way through, not to, but even through eternity. Today, us on this line, 8 o'clock this night, God knew it. Everything is included in his master plan for your good. You see, David is the writer of this chapter 139. And many people believe that David is the writer of the entire book of Psalms. But there were at least six other writers that wrote the book. You see, the book of Psalms is known as a book of songs and hymns. You know, many times you could hear people making songs and they're using scriptures out of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms was songs that those people sung in worship and in battle and when they were joyful and when they went to the feast and when they did this and they did that. The book of Psalms is comprised of songs and hymns. You see, in David, the writer of this book, if we take time and put a light on David for just a little while, we can learn a lot from his life. You see, we was first introduced to David after Saul who became their king. You know, the people wanted a king. Now, you have to realize the Israelites is the people. We're talking about God's chosen people. But there were many other nations on earth. When you read the Bible, don't think the only people were the Jews and the only people was the characters in the Bible. There were many nations around the world. And the other nations had kings. The Israelites didn't have a king. It's amazing how people always want what they see. So they kept asking the prophets to ask God to let them have a king. God told them, no, I'm their king. I'm their leader. They kept insisting and insisting on it. And God allowed the prophet Samuel, the priest, prophet Samuel. God anointed the one they wanted, Saul. But they soon learned that Saul was a hot mess. Saul didn't have the qualities of a king. He didn't want to do it the way God wanted it done. He wanted to lean to his own understanding and make his own decisions. So even though God anointed Saul and allowed him to be king, God said, well, since kings have come into play, I'm going to put my own king on the throne. So David, God sent Samuel, out to search for a king. God knew who he wanted, back to our title, before the foundation of the world. He sent him to Jesse's house. Told him, go over there. You're going to see Jesse have some boys and put an oil on them and anoint them. And the oil, when it do what it does, you're going to know it's the king. Well, Samuel being like people, when he got to the house, they had six boys in the house, and they were tall and handsome. Like people say, they were eye candy, tall drinks of water. So Samuel just thought it had to be one of them because, you see, people want people who look good to represent them. Sometimes they look for the outer and not concerned with the inner. They was judging a book by its cover. But the Earl did not do anything. Samuel not confused. So he told Jesse, you've got to have another son. He said, you got to have another one. Say, yeah, I have a boy, but ain't much about him. He's my youngest boy. He out there with them sheep. He dirty. He smelly. And he ain't nothing to look at. And besides that, he's a boy. But the God told Samuel, the priest prophet, to anoint him. This should give us full information how God chooses who he wants for what he wants, y'all. And if you're connected with our title, The Master Plan, and you realize it was before the foundation of the world, God had already ordained for David to be the king before he spoke the world into existence. And that's the same way God is operating in our lives. Things that you walk into is by God's grace. Things that you have, God's not making things up as he goes. So David became king, became God's king, but But remember, Saul was still on the throne. And when the oil anointed David, the Spirit of God came upon David and left Saul. And you have to read for yourself. I'm introducing him. But, you know, we have, so much time. But to make a long story short, after a while, the people start looking at David. Because you see, when God is for you, who could be against you? The people start looking at David because they was all praising Saul. And David went out and slew a giant named Goliath. And the people start praising David. And Saul became angered. And now Saul wanted to kill him. So David was always on the run. So I wanted to let y'all know that. David had to run, duck, and hide. And even as life went on, he had to fight with the people. He had to fight with his sons, and David was always on the run. Most of the time isolated, and he used that time to write many of the chapters in the Book of Psalms. And he wrote this chapter we have tonight. He was probably sitting down thinking about God, and we'll see how he put it on paper. But you see, David's life was filled with battles, even though he was anointed. Come on, y'all. Many people are telling me, Minister Diane or Sister Diane, I pay my tithes, why I don't have money. Or I did this and I did that. And why God didn't do this and that. Even though David was appointed and anointed, he still had to duck and hide. He was hated by others, like Jesus, y'all. Must Jesus bear the cross alone for all the world go free? There's a cross for everyone. There's one for you and there's one for me. God didn't promise us a rose garden, y'all. But he said he got us in the midst of whatever we're going through. He got us. He has us. And we can rest assured when we are in the hands of God. David had many fights and battles, y'all, before he became king. And when he became king, he became king, a part of the tribes, and not all of them, and eventually he got to be king over both tribes, both the southern and the northern. But David had many trials. You see, we must realize that we are in a spiritual warfare and must fight for what is ours, and we must equip others with the whole armor of God, because the weapons of this world is carnal. You see, David was not given the right to build a new temple. God's temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and David said, how could I sleep in my house of cedar? And the Ark of God, which represents God's presence, was in a tent. So he said he was going to build God a temple. But God did not allow him to do it because of his bloody battle scars, as well as his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and for the slaying of her husband. He said David had innocent blood and he couldn't build the temple. God denied his otherwise servant the honor. You see, that just was the consequences of his sin. This was surely a blow to David because he wanted to do this for God. But God said, not this, David. Come on, y'all. But, you know, we all have to remember God said David was a man after his own heart. Yes, David messed up, but David really knew how to repent and go to God humbly. And we have to do that because we're going to mess up from time to time. David knew how to mess. David knew how to worship God and how to repent and how to turn from his evil ways. And this is letting us know God does not allow our past to dictate our future. Just keep marching, sisters and brothers. Just keep going forward in the name of Jesus. God has a master plan. You're included in his plan, and he has an expected end for you in his plan, and that's where your success is. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and God will see you through. That's our intro about David, and now we go into the Bible in the book of Psalms, chapter 139. And I'm going to start at verse 1. Now, I told you that about David. I told you he was always on the run, and he, you know, people hated him, and they was trying to get him, and many times he was hanging out in a cave on top of a mountain, ducking and diving, trying to stay out of harm's way. Well, one time David was all alone, and he was thinking about God, and this is what he wrote. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. 2, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts for all. 3, thou compassest my paths, and my laying down art acquainted with all, you are acquainted with all of my ways. 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hands upon me. And he go to verse 6. David now said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. He said, I cannot attain it. David was thinking about how great God is. David let God knew that he knew God know him. It's nothing you could do that God doesn't know. Many times people duck and hide and do sin where people won't see him, but they got to realize the people may not, but God sees you. And David expressed that in his song. And I'm going to speak about those 5-6 verses for a little while. You see, when David looked over his life, it amazed him. And he realized that God had been in total control. David was the perfect person to write about the awesomeness of God because he could see the hand of God throughout his life, working it out for his good. And such knowledge was too deep for him to even comprehend. You know how God brought you from some of them valleys? You know, when you thought it was all over, how God opened a door. A God came and closed the door in your life that needed to be closed. How you may have been on a crooked road and God picked you up and placed you on a straight, narrow road. God is thinking about all God did. He's looking at how the hand of God operated in his life. You see, David understand that it was not about him, but God. At an early age, David was minding his own business, not looking for God, but God came looking for him. You remember I told you when Samuel went to the house of Jesse and all of the boys was in the house, and you know, Samuel tried to anoint one to be king, and it didn't work, and Samuel told Jesse to get David. David, this is the thing I want you to see. David was out with the sheep. You know, it doesn't say God, David prayed to be king. It didn't say God, David wanted to grow into greatness. David was with the sheep, and he was satisfied. But God came looking for him. That's how God came looking for each and every one of us, y'all. Don't ever get it twisted. We did not have enough righteousness in us to look for God. God came looking for us. The same way he did with David, he did with us, y'all. You see, in these verses, David expressed that God is all-knowing, which is one of God's attributes called omniscience. If you pay attention to the scriptures I'm going to read, because the Psalm 139 speaks of God's attributes of omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. This is where you can see the sovereignty of God. So in the ones that I just read just now, it's letting us know that God is omniscient, that God knows all things. Come on, y'all. You see, we will never be able to fully understand God's will and his way, because God can do what he wants, when he wants, for who he wants, because of who he is. He's God all by himself. So we should always trust God no matter what state we're in. God has revealed himself to us through his word and has given us evidence of who he is. Do you believe it? God is the only true and living God. God has allowed us to know him, his attributes. Omniscient, being all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, and omnipotent, that means he has all power in his hands. There is no other person or no other God that possesses this. He is all-knowing. Decide who we would be, how we would be, and why we would be this or that. He was creating us for the kingdom, y'all. And he needed a variety of people. That's why there's no two alike. That's why he distributed the gifts. But yet he had to say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If everybody operated in what God has given us, not what you went to the store and picked up, you was rich and bought it, what God has given you. You can't buy gifts. You can't buy wisdom. It all is given by God to you to be used by God for service and for kingdom building, living with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, when someone creates, we know that God is our creator. When God created the heavens and the earth, Psalms 24 said, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwell therein. When God created, that means he knew everything about what he created. Did you ever think about that? If God created me, he knows everything about me. There's a scripture that says he knows the number of hairs on your head. Come on, y'all. He knows the day you was going to be born, and he knew the day you would die. He's our creator. And I come to tell you tonight, you'll never untruly understand who you are until you know who your maker is. And that's why so many people is going around today looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in material things, looking for love in education, looking for love in murder, killing people, figuring that's going to give them joy. They're looking in all the wrong places. You see, we have to begin to pray. And just let God have his way. And I come to tell you, when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. He's God, and yes, he do understand. God said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And you could depend on the words of God, because he's right with us. He even told us in another scripture that he was our present help. And I want to let you know there's nothing that you can do can take God by surprise. And if we look at verses 7 through 11, it says, whether I go, this is David talking again now, whether I go from my spirit or whether shall I flee from thy presence. 8, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall come over me, even the night shall be light about me. No matter what happens, God's got you. No matter where you go, he's saying. He said, no matter where I go, God, you are there. You see, here we see that David expressed the opposite, the attribute of God of being omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. There is no way you can go where God is not. There is no place in your life where God is not there to help, deliver, heal, and love you. But you got to believe it. You got to know it. You got to trust it. You got to embrace it. And you got to let go and let God and then do what your part is, and everything is going to be all right. If we look at verses 12 through 16, this is David talking again. He said, yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as day, and the darkness as the light are both alike in me. Talking about God and his greatness. 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me. Now, this is the one, y'all. He said, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I don't know about you, but when I first read that, it sent chills through my body. There's another scripture that say God took his hand and put it in our mother's womb and formed our innermost parts. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. He said, thou covered me in my mother's womb. 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearful and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul is know all well. 15, my substance did not hide from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. 16, thy eyes did see my substance. Watch this. Thy eyes had seen my substance, yet being unperfect, and thy book of my members were written. You know, God is writing in the book of life. He said, which in you fashioned me, y'all. My continents were fashioned. That's your look. Your continents. You see, and so many people is not satisfied with the way they look. And I'm not going to never say anything against self-improvement. And you see many of them. I was looking at a story last night about the plastic surgeon. And people came in there with 30 and 20 plastic surgeries. Still looking for something. That people came in there wanted the plastic surgeon to make them look like another person. But God didn't make no mistakes. The word of God says you are beautifully and wonderfully made. And the good thing about it, you're unique because there's no two of you. That means no one can beat you being you. You are the essence of you. Come on, y'all. He said, which you fashion my countenance, when as yet there was none of them. He said, God, he's talking about God dealing with him and his master plan when he was invisible. See, he said, when as yet there was none of these things. You see, here, David expressed the attributes omnipotent. Every person has some degree of power, but only God has unlimited power. God knew you before you were and had the power to create what he wanted you to be for his glory. By his power, he created each of us with an intended purpose and with his power provided. This is the thing. If God, as Jeremiah 29 and 11 say, it is that God had an intended purpose for us before the foundation of the world. He had thoughts of good and not evil. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. That's what God said. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. If God gave you an expected end before the foundation of the world, before you was in your mother's womb, before he fashioned you, while you was invisible, if he did all of that, you got to realize that he has and will continue to provide the provisions necessary for you to accomplish it. How God faithfully and wonderfully made us in the womb, y'all. Unique. And you got to realize this, and I say it many times, we did not get to pick our parents. And I want you to tell you, your parents didn't get to pick you. So you don't even need to get it twisted. And that's why I say it's good to just play the hand that you dealt. If you believe that God didn't make no mistakes. You see, God don't make no mistakes. Learn to work with what you have. And there's success in it. And it's joy if you can find it. You see, just as David was anointed to be king, you are anointed, my sisters and brothers, to be all that God has designed you to be. He don't make mistakes. He made you. You. God is everywhere watching over us, molding, shaping, arranging, and rearranging us into our design purpose. Just trust him. And I want to tell you tonight, you are not an afterthought of God. But even before your beginning, before your mother's womb, before you was placed in your father's groin, the appointed time for your death, and after your death to eternity was designed by God in his master plan. And if we look at 17 and 18, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great is the sum of them. 18. If I should count them, they are more than a number, more in numbers than sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. Have you ever sat down and thought of the goodness of God and all that he's done for you? Take time. You will realize no matter how horrible you may feel your life is, I guarantee you there will be more good times than bad times. And I want to tell you the good times is that you might have not embraced it. Ha-ha. You might have not dealt with it. But God is like that. You see, David realized the goodness of God. God's desires and blessings are too much for you to comprehend. And yet he keep on blessing us over and over again. God has a wonderful plan for our lives, but we must be in position to receive it. Many times he said, look, go west, but you go east. Stop, you keep going. Don't touch what you do, like Eve. But you see, God has ordained it, but you must believe it to receive it and then to achieve it. And that's our lesson for tonight. Everything is a part of God's master plan, and he formulated before the foundation of the world. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. The one button on your phone. There's a caller. Your number is 321-615-15. Would you like to say something tonight? I think that was a young lady, and she said she had always been trying to get through, but she couldn't get through, so I said I would try to recognize it tonight, but I think that's her number. But anybody else have anything they would like to say? Anybody would like to say anything about the awesomeness of God or anything? You can say it at this time. Well, if not, I thank each and every one of you for coming out on tonight. I pray that there was one thing that you could use in your life that will help you to grow in your grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at this time, we'll have our benediction. I'm sorry. I have to let you guys know next Wednesday we will not have a lesson. I will be out of town next Wednesday. So I'm going to try to send out a notice to remind you. But we won't be on the line next Wednesday. But the Wednesday after that, I'll be back with you guys. Pray for me as I travel. And I'll continue to pray for you while I'm traveling. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anybody would like to say anything, you can at this time. Just press the one button on your phone. Sister Pam, your mic is open for the benediction.
Benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us was pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. And again, I always have to say thank you because I am so grateful for your faithfulness and your service. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
And if anyone, Thank you. If anyone have anything to say, this is the last call. Press the 1 button on your phone. If not, we're going to end our session for tonight. And remember, next week I will not be on the Bible study line, but I'll join you back again the week after this. Well, let me give you the date, because I'm going to be gone on the 8th, but I will resume back on the 15th. So we'll resume again on the 15th of November. But until then, it was my prayer and my wishes that each and every one of you do real good, and that God bless each and every one of you, your families, and everything else. So I'll be back on the 15th, but until then, go in peace and have a great night rest, and let God bless each and every one of us real good. Good night, everybody.